Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Reverend Alan Thames delivers the message entitled, What Next? More Questions Than Answers. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth shall be, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed for Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, the oak of the Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, a passage we traditionally associate with Easter. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all of these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other as you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, are you only stranger in Jerusalem, who does not know the things that have happened in these days? He asked them, what things? They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, had him crucified. We had hoped this was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since all of this took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had been viewed. Seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Beginning then with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all of the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going. He walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at the table with them, he took bread, he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay. All right, thanks for being patient. I hope you knew the scripture already. I mean, you know, it's not an unfamiliar one. I didn't just pull it out of the book. As Pastor Terry said earlier, I'm Alan Thames. I'm the executive presbyter for Whitewater Valley, at least until December 31st, when I also will follow my good colleague, John Gable, into retirement. So this is one of the things I love to do, is to come be with our churches that are in transition. And I suspect TAB is one of the ones that I will get to do as the last of my times out in the presbytery. So I am so glad to be here with you all this morning. And when Terry shared with me a little bit about the sermon series that you all have had, the What's Next, I thought, I think mine fits right in there, because what I want to propose to you is that what's next for TAB, for this community of faith going through a transition, is that you're going to have more questions than answers. You know, in spite of us being Presbyterian and Reformed and having John Calvin as our spiritual father of theology, who absolutely tried to nail down every imaginable theological point in his institutes, and then to have a whole book that includes not just one confession, not just two, but nine now, and we're working on another one. In spite of all of that, we also say we believe in a God of mystery, a God who doesn't reveal God's self all at once, a God who is always saying, "Trust me, I'm in charge, I'll take you to the next place." So maybe to help frame that and how I've had to live into that personally, let me share a little bit of my faith journey with you. The first thing you need to know about me is that I am a preacher's kid. Now, I loved my dad, but I was never, ever, 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 ever going to do that. I think I said five evers, so I just kind of want to underscore that this was not my idea. And yet, while I was in college, there was that moment, and it came right on top of having to declare my major and decide, yeah, what am I going to do with the rest of my life, that there was no other choice. The only choice that was sitting out there in front of me was that thing I said I was not going to do, because at that point, God was showing me what was next. I didn't want to believe it, but that's where I knew I had to go. I couldn't avoid it. So the next part of that is that I'm a small town Texas boy. I was always planning to go back, to be in Texas, to be in a small town, to be in a small church. It had worked for my dad for 40 years of ministry. Why would that not be what I was supposed to do? Why would that not be where I was supposed to go? In fact, my choice of seminary, the University of Dubuque Theological Seminary, was because their program has always been focused on preparing pastors for small town and rural parishes.
I had it all figured out, friends. Let me tell you, I knew exactly where I was going until God said, no, no. If you read my bio, you'll notice my first church was in Kansas City, Missouri. That's not exactly a small town. So again, God said, trust me, follow me. I'm the one that will lead. The next part of that journey was that I wasn't ever going to leave parish ministry. I couldn't imagine not preaching every week and teaching Bible study and calling on the sick and the elderly and bringing them communion when they could not be a part of the gathered community of faith. I couldn't imagine not working with elders and deacons to lead the church. And yet in 2004, when my predecessor Jill Hudson retired, and some of you may have known Jill, I had three different people in my life, three people who didn't know each other, by the way. One was here, one was in Illinois, and one was in my church in Fort Wayne. And they all said to me, you know, have you ever thought about being a presbytery executive? No, that was not something that I was going to do. That's not really what God wanted until God said, yeah, that's kind of what I want. So my life, always about living into the mystery. And that's what I'm proposing for TAB, that you've got to live into the mystery. You've got to live into that idea that there will be more questions than answers for you as a congregation, perhaps for you as individual members of it. I chose both passages today intentionally because they really do reflect for me that idea of living into mystery. Let's take that Genesis passage. Okay, here's this 75-year-old man. He is comfortable. He has all kinds of possessions, all kinds of livestock, this huge family, several slaves. He's 75 years old. Did I mention that? And God says, here, I want you to go away from this place. I want you to separate yourself from all of these people that you know. Now, first of all, that would raise a question in my mind because people in the ancient Middle East didn't do that. They didn't leave their gathered family. Their strength was in being together. And then for part of the promise to be, and you and Sarai, you know, you've been married about 50 years or so now. You've never had a child, but you're going to have one. I'm not going to tell you when, and I'm not going to let you know much more about it, but through him and through the family that will come because of that child, I'm going to bless the whole rest of the earth. Well, if I lived in a small village in the Middle East, I'm not sure I would have had much concept of how the world was going to be blessed by me. So questions. And yet Abram did it. Abram left. He took Sarai, his wife. He took his nephew, Lot. He took all the slaves. He took all the livestock. They picked up Lot, stock and barrel, as they say, to move to this place that only God knew about. One of the fascinating things that I have come to pay attention to in that particular passage, just in the recent years, is that verse that Terry read at the end. After they have the altar built at the Oak of Moreh, when you think that's where he's supposed to stay, it says, and they journeyed in stages to the Negev. So what that says to me is there wasn't a final destination that they got to all at once. There was a stop here and something that had to happen here before they went over here and something else that had to be accomplished before they went over there. This is what TAB's journey is going to look like. You're going to journey in stages during this time of transition. Pastor Terry and the staff are doing a wonderful job in these weeks after John's retirement to keep you going, to keep things stable, to keep you hopeful. That's as it should be. There's a little anxiety there, right? Every church I've ever preached this sermon to, there's a little anxiety. Okay, can you tell us who our next pastor's gonna be? Remember, I'm the mystery guy. I love mystery, so I never promise anything when I come preach this sermon. I don't promise who your next interim pastor is going to be, much less who your next pastor is. But you're going to get there by stages, friends. You're going to ask questions all along the way. You're going to ask questions in this period of time. What are the things we should be paying attention to? What are the things that need to be done right now? Those are the first things of transition. An interim pastor will come. And an interim pastor is trained to ask lots of questions, and you won't like all of the questions that get asked. But that's part of the process, because you are being prepared in stages for where God is leading next. You may think, okay, I'm really tired of this part of it. Can't we get to the next part? Sorry. It doesn't work that way. When God puts a call on us, God calls us to go there in stages. And if you ever doubt that, go back to this passage, because the passage invites us to ask the questions. Abram took it by faith, but I can't imagine in his mind and in Sarai's mind and in Lot's mind, there weren't all kinds of questions. Can't we be done yet? We've traveled 600 miles. Can't we be done? Can't we just settle? Can't we just make this the new normal? God said, keep going. Trust me. I'm in charge. I'm leading. That's the message for all of you. It is the message that we need to live into if we are going to continue to be faithful. And TAB has been such a faithful congregation in so many ways, and you have had such a rich ministry with John. So rich. It is something to celebrate. But you don't stop here. You don't get to if you're going to continue to be faithful. You have to go to where God is calling this congregation next, and each of you who are a part of it. That's how it works. I think the passage from Luke is also all about these questions. These questions of how does this all work? The framers, or the two that were on the journey to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion, their first question to Jesus, are you the only one who doesn't know this story? Are you the only one who can't accept that our whole world has fallen apart? Are you the only one who doesn't get this is not really good news? And yet, Jesus just walks alongside. He continues to talk. He continues to listen. And then he says, you are of little faith, but maybe it'll be enough. Maybe it'll be enough for me to reveal who I am. And what does that passage tell us? That Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of bread. Something so mundane, so everyday. Here they are with the risen Christ, walking alongside. They have a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They're walking it. Not once in the whole conversation do they get this as Jesus. Not once. But when Jesus breaks the bread and blesses it and gives it to them, click, the light goes on. And then they begin to understand, indeed, this was all part of a bigger plan. Our temptation, like the disciples, like Cleopas and his companion, is to make things either good or bad. It's kind of like that old Chinese proverb. It goes something like this. There was a farmer who had a horse. He is the horse to keep his field plowed. One day the horse ran off, and the neighbors came to him and said, "Oh, this is such bad news." The old farmer just stood there and shrugged his shoulders and said, "Bad news, good news. Who really knows?" A few days later, the horse returned, and with the horse were all kinds of wild horses that had followed it back to the farmer's house. The neighbors gather and they say, "Good news! Good news! All of these new horses!" And the farmer shrugs his shoulder and he says, "Good news. Bad news. Who knows?" The day after that, the farmer's son went out to try and break one of the new horses so that they could put it to use on the farm and expand their operation. In the process, because the horse was wild, the farmer's son was thrown from the horse and his leg was broken. And the neighbors scurried back and they said, "Oh, such terrible news, your poor son." And the farmer shrugged his shoulders. He said, "Bad news, good news, who knows?" A couple of weeks later, while the son was still healing with his broken leg, the Chinese authorities came to conscript all the young men in the village for the war that they were going to fight. But the farmer's son with the broken leg couldn't go. And the neighbors came back and they said, "Oh, wonderful news." And you know what the farmer said, you know. "Good news, bad news, who knows?" We imagine at various points that it's all bad news because we don't like how the story turned. Cleopas and his friend said, This one was supposed to redeem Israel. And they knew in their minds what that meant. That meant getting rid of those hated Romans. It meant putting somebody back on the throne of Israel. It meant somehow they would be a free and independent people again. They were redeemed. We all know that. But that's not what redemption looked like. And so in their mind, this thing that they had made into bad news, the worst possible news, the death of this person who had gone about teaching and healing and all good things, whose life had suddenly come to an end, a very violent, ugly end. This was no longer bad news. It was the best possible news. It was the news that would change every one of their lives and all the world beyond. And so, in this time of transition, Tab, you're going to be tempted to say, "Oh, I don't really like this. Do we have to do this? This doesn't really seem like a good idea. This is bad news." Remember how our God works. Our God works the way that Paul describes it in his letter to the Romans in the 8th chapter. God is doing his best to work all things together for good. We are the ones who have to live into that mystery because we don't see it. We are invited on this wonderful journey, this journey of seeing that there are sometimes going to be more questions than answers. This journey of complete mystery. What's going to be next for Tab? I don't know. I don't want to predict. You don't know. But I can guarantee it this. God will be in the midst of it, and Tab will be completely blessed by it in every way, even though you don't see it all at once. So I invite you, the saints of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, to welcome this time of more questions and answers, this journey of mystery. In this time, let us pray. Gracious God, may you grant this congregation and all of its members an opportunity to ask their questions and to be patient in not having an answer to them. May you help them journey stage by stage to whatever it is that you have planned next, because it will be to your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, my name is Don Heitman, and I'm a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. I'm married into Tab. It was then that I became aware of all the volunteer opportunities here. There is a need for ushers, bus drivers, tutors, park mowers, and various maintenance projects. TAB has several committees in which members serve. You may travel on out-of-country mission trips or in-country trips with the church youth. There are many ways to serve God at TAB. My name is Don Heitman, and I invite you to come and see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.